Sermon this morning is Now No Condemnation, and our passage is Romans 8, 1 through 4, as we continue to work through the book of Romans, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Here is God's word speaking to us. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And this is God's word, and may he bless it to us. First of all, as we reflect upon this passage, we want to see that in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation for you. So the Spirit has been given to you to free you from sin and death. So there is now no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus, and because of that, the Spirit has been given to you to free you from sin and death. And we see that in verses 1 and 2. Now you will remember that the Apostle Paul has just laid out at the end of Romans 7 the fact of the continued struggle the believer has with sin. He gave himself as an example, saying that he set his mind on God's law and served the Lord with his mind, and yet the corruption of his flesh was always there, warring against him and all too often defeating him. And it made him cry out, "Who will deliver me from this body of death? Wretched man that I am." And he is saying, who will deliver me, as it were, from this condition in which I still produce fruits of sin for death, as well as fruits of righteousness unto life? And the answer was Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Paul has shown us in Romans 5, chapter 5, Romans chapter 6, and Romans chapter 7 that we are united to Christ in his death for our sin, and we are united to Christ in his heavenly life, from where he actually empowers us with his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so we will not, we cannot be condemned before God in Christ. And therefore we will not, we cannot be consigned or given over to suffer the punishment resulting from that condemnation. Remember, Paul has made clear that when we are condemned, we will be punished. Sin leads to guilt. And under the law, apart from grace, guilt leads to punishment. And the punishment Paul has made clear that includes is being given over to or ruled by and dominated by sin in this life, and then suffering eternal punishment in hell in the life to come. See, Paul has very much wanted to show his doctrine of justification, that we are forgiven and accepted apart from works, as not at all a license to sin. In fact, it is only by being justified through Christ by grace, through faith, apart from our works, that we can have any hope, we can have any confidence that God will not give us over to the rule of sin, but will help us to walk in godliness. The hope of justification by grace is not only for the life to come, that it will issue in eternal life for us in heavenly glory, but it is for this life, that it will lead to us receiving all the gifts and graces that we need to live a life of godliness, a life of joy, a life of peace. So in our passage, Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. As he begins, we see by the use of therefore, the word therefore, that he is making a conclusion from what has gone before in Romans 5 and 6 and 7. Then we see by the use of the word now that he wants to make clear that a very new situation has come into being for you, for us, if we have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and are now found in him. And that new situation is that there is now no condemnation for us, for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we are forgiven. And we are accepted apart from our works, apart from our record. In Christ Jesus, we are counted and declared to be just, right before God's judgment, and qualified for the blessings due to the righteous. And this is the very opposite of being condemned, being found and declared as guilty before God and liable to the punishment due to lawbreakers and sinners. And what is that punishment again? Remember, Paul has been arguing that in this life it is being given up to the tyranny and rule over sin, of sin over us, and in the next it is eternal death and then eternal hell. So Paul is saying more in context than you, that you are justified and not condemned in Christ. He is applying his argument and saying that because there is now no condemnation for you in Christ, you need not fear that you will be given over to sin in this life and that you will be given up to death and hell in the life to come. That because there is now no condemnation for you in Christ, you need not fear that you will be given up or given over to sin in this life and given up to the powers of death and hell in the life to come. And so you can take that to heart as you hear those precious words, there is now no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. And look, this can already be seen in your life if you are a Christian. This can already be seen in your life if you are a Christian. That's what Paul is saying in verse 2. The fact that there is now no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus and that you will therefore not be given up to suffer the punishment of a condemned man is seen in that the Holy Spirit has been given to you and has begun to work in you that you might be free from the dominion of the powers of sin and death. The four is a connector in verse 2, and here would be mean something like indeed, or inasmuch as, or considering that, or as can be seen in that. And so as can be seen in the fact that the law of the Spirit of life has begun to work in you. The law of the Spirit of life is the work of the Holy Spirit in you, working as he must and always does, as a law. This is how he works. How does the Holy Spirit work in you? Always to produce life, to produce spiritual life now, which will overcome sin, and when the time comes, physical life, freeing you from death at the resurrection. And the Holy Spirit was there at creation. As God spoke and called life into being, the Holy Spirit was there, bringing life into being. We see that. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters in Genesis 1. And the Spirit does the same thing in the work of renewal and recreation, restoration, redemption. He creates spiritual life in us. And ultimately, Paul goes on to speak of the resurrection in Romans 8 and how the Spirit will raise us from the dead, giving life to our bodies. So the Spirit is the Spirit of life. He gives spiritual life, and he will also give physical life, raising us from the dead one day. It says, has set you free in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus. And that means that you are free now in principle from the tyranny of the law of sin and death. The gift of the Holy Spirit, which all of you who have believed in Christ Jesus have received, means that the absolute hold of sin and death on you is broken. Just the very fact that the Holy Spirit has been given to you means that the absolute hold of sin and death on you is broken. It doesn't mean that the powers of sin and even death will not continue to war against you. As Paul made clear in the end of chapter 7, It does mean that they won't win that war. They won't win that war. And so Paul will go on in Romans 8 to show that the Spirit enables us to fight and overcome sin. And indeed, the Spirit will raise our bodies from the dead, at which time we will receive eternal life. And so the Spirit of life has been given to us already. It is a sign that because He always works to produce life, we will overcome the powers of sin. We will overcome even the power of death. What a blessing that is. So the presence and work of the Spirit in us is a demonstration of the fact that we are not condemned in Christ Jesus and will not be condemned in Christ Jesus. It is a demonstration and assurance of the fact that we will have total victory in Christ up to and including the resurrection and eternal life. You might remember that in Ephesians, Paul says that this Holy Spirit is the deposit or down payment guaranteeing what is to come. Do you remember that? That the Holy Spirit is the deposit or down payment guaranteeing what is to come. And that is the idea. And so we have the Spirit, and it is this deposit, it is this guarantee, that it is this assurance for us that there is no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus, and there will be no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. But the blessings we have already begun to receive through Jesus will lead to total victory, and we will triumph, we will overcome, and we will receive God's blessing through Christ Jesus. And if I haven't already made it clear, the law of sin and death is the working of the powers of sin and death in you to do what they always do as a law. Again, what do the powers of sin and death always do as a law in those apart from grace? They produce their fruits unto spiritual and physical and eternal destruction. And this law of sin and death was at one time for us held all that was at work in us. We were apart from grace and apart from the Spirit, outside of Christ. But now that we are in Christ, this is not all that is at work in us. Though these powers still come to bear on our lives, again, we have received the Holy Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free and will set us free completely in the end. And so praise be to the Lord. There is now no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus, and God has given us the Spirit to free us, and we will be free. Secondly, we see that in Christ Jesus, from this passage, that God has done what the law could not do, condemning sin instead of the sinner. We see that in Christ Jesus, God has done what the law could not do, condemning sin instead of the sinner. In verse 3, Paul reminds us that for God, he reminds us that God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. The emphasis in this verse is on what God has done through Christ for our salvation. Let us always remember that God the Father lovingly and graciously sent Christ, whom Paul calls His own Son, for our salvation. For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God the Father has lovingly and graciously done through His own Son, Christ, what nothing and no one else could do to secure our salvation. Specifically, He wants to remind us that God has done through Christ what the law could not do for our salvation. The law is weakened or made powerless to help us to be godly and to gain us victory over death and eternal life by our flesh, by our sinful corruption. So as we saw in Romans 7, the law comes to us seeking to help. It's a good law. It's a holy law. There's nothing wrong with the law. But because we are sinners, it can't help us. And so what happens? Our sinful corruption responds by multiplying sins and deceiving us, which ultimately leads to more guilt, more liability to punishment, and so a deeper bondage to sin and death. And so since the law could not help us or save us from condemnation and the powers of sin and death, God did it. He did it by sending his own son, his unique, dearly beloved son, his divine and eternal son, into the world, as Paul says, in the likeness of sinful flesh. He's using the word likeness to communicate the fact that in assuming a human nature in this fallen world, Jesus entered into our sinful and fallen condition as near as he could without actually having himself a corrupt and sinful human nature. If he did, he wouldn't be able to be a savior to us. So while there was no sinful corruption in Christ's body or soul, he was tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. And he experienced many of the infirmities of living in this fallen and sin-cursed world. He entered our fallen and hopeless condition in the likeness of sinful flesh, but in a way that he could deal with sin for us. Now the ESV says that this was for sin, which is right, at least to the extent that the purpose for which Christ came in the likeness of sinful flesh was for sin, that is, to deal with sin. But you'll notice, if you're looking at the ESV, that in a footnote, it says, or for a sin offering. And I believe this is indeed the proper translation based on the fact that the Greek translation of the Old Testament that was prominent at this time used this word the vast majority of the times that it is used for a sin offering and not just to speak of sin in general. So yes, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh to deal with sin for sin, but he dealt with sin. He came to deal with sin by becoming a sin offering. And so through his death on the cross as a sin offering, Christ dealt a fatal blow to sin. God condemned sin in the flesh when Christ was crucified for sin. The idea is very similar to what Paul said in Romans 3:25, that he put forth Christ as a propitiation, a wrath-satisfying sacrifice in the place of sinners to declare his righteousness, that he does not accept sin. Sin is condemned in his judgment and made liable to the punishment due to it. And the purpose of God's condemnation of sin is seen there in verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law demands perfect obedience. And when we break that law, its righteous requirement is that we suffer the punishment due to us. On the day you shall eat of that fruit, Adam, one single violation of my law, you shall die. The wages of sin is death. And so the law's righteous requirement is that when we break the law, that we die. The law demands perfect obedience. When we break the law, its righteous requirement is we suffer the punishment due to us. And as we have seen, our being given up to the powers of sin and death and hell is that punishment. But since Christ was made sin for us, since Christ suffered in our place, the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us and has no more claim over us. Thus we are free. Free to belong to God and free to serve God by the Spirit and not to walk according to the flesh. Indeed, it is because we are free that we do and we can and we must walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, and that we know that the Spirit of God already, because we are not condemned, has been given to us to free us from those powers of sin and death. But that all traces back to the work of Christ on the cross. It all traces back to being accepted through Christ, his obedience, his death for us. If we're not accepted apart from works of the law through Christ, if the righteous requirement of the law is not fulfilled for us in him, then we have no hope of receiving the grace we need, the spirit we need to overcome the powers of sin and death, either in this life or in the life to come. But because God did for us what we could not do ourselves and what the law could not do for us by sending Christ, and he became that sin offering for us, as we trust in him, that work is counted to us, the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us, and we are free to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, by the grace of God and with the help of God. Praise be to God. So how sweet it is then, my friends, in Christ, God condemned sin, but did not condemn us. Rather, he brought us the gift of freedom from sin, freedom from death, and indeed eternal life under his blessing. There is now no condemnation for you if you are in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We thank you that because we are not condemned in Christ, but the righteous requirement of the law has been satisfied with for us, Lord, you have given us your Spirit. It is a gift. It is the down payment and guarantee of what is to come. And it has already set us free in principle because, Lord, that Spirit will always work to produce life. It will help us to overcome our sin, and it will raise us from the dead one day. And so, Lord, we rejoice that even now we see that we are not condemned in the fact that you have given us your Spirit, and we will be victorious through Christ and through that Spirit which you have given to us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.